Verse 1 through 3, please, in Deuteronomy, chapter number 16. The Bible says, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God, for in the month of Abib the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Verse 3, our text. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of thy life. That last phrase says again, that thou mayest remember the day. That's what I want to talk about, remembering the day. Of course, the New Testament parallel is salvation. Moses here is talking about remembering the day when they came out of bondage in Egypt. And the New Testament parallel of coming out of Egypt is not something physical, but spiritual, and that is when we came out of sin's bondage, the day we got saved. And I think here the Bible is saying to us today that we should never forget the day that we got saved. And I'll give several reasons why in these moments this morning. Remember the day. That implies several things. First of all, it implies that there was a day. There was a day. Every person in this world that's saved this morning can say that I got saved on a certain day. That person may have been under conviction for a period of days or weeks even, realizing their lostness, their guilt, their need. But when they got saved, it took place on a certain day, a certain time, a certain place. For everybody that's saved, there was a day. There was a place. Now you might even get to where you don't remember. I've met some older Christians who really couldn't specify exactly. I think that's sad. Perhaps it'd be good to write it down if that would help. There's some who, as they get much older, forget a lot of things. I guess it surprises me as I've talked to older people through the years to notice that some of them forget their age. I'm not talking about people that have dementia or anything. I mean, I've talked to a lot of older people. How old will you be this year? Well, I'm not quite sure. How many years you've been married? I'm not quite sure. So I guess that's something that comes with age. But remember the day means everybody that's saved got saved instantaneously, miraculously, consciously, and everlastingly. Remember the day means when you get saved, it's not a process. Some people think you grow into it. You grow as a Christian, but you become a Christian at the moment of rebirth, the new birth, being born again. So the Bible here again says that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. Remember the day. The audience here to which Moses is speaking were the very ones who had come out of bondage in Egypt. And they could look back and remember what great things the Lord did. Some of them have died, of course, as they crossed the wilderness. And the younger ones were still living, and they had heard. And there could hardly be anything more exciting than to read the book of Exodus and see how God's people, the Jews, were in bondage for hundreds of years in Egypt. And God raised up Moses. And Moses and Aaron went to the Pharaoh and said, "The Lord said, let my people go." Pharaoh hardened his heart. God sent 10 different plagues, each one directed against one of the false gods of Egypt. Egypt represents the world. Throughout the Bible, the typology of Egypt is the world. When I was in Egypt in 1983, in Cairo, all I could think about was, I'm in Egypt, I'm in the world. And you know it very well when you're there. There's a darkness there. They worship, somebody said, 1 million objects. There could hardly be, if there's a little bug that's crawling on the ground, they worship it. Anything that exists and things that don't exist, that's Egypt. And you know, after the death of the firstborn, then Pharaoh finally gave permission to Moses and to the children of Israel to leave. And they left Egypt that night and began their journey toward the promised land. A journey of 40 years, unfortunately. So the Lord said, "Remember the day that I brought you out of bondage." As great as that event was, it was more of a physical bondage from which they were delivered. But for you and me this morning, we have a day to remember, a deliverance even greater. For ours was spiritual. Our deliverance was eternal salvation when God broke the chains of our sin. They were redeemed. That's a good, strong Bible word. You find it throughout the Bible. The Lord often said, "I'm your Redeemer. I've redeemed you from bondage." And there are three or four different words in the Bible from whence we get the word redeem. When the Lord said, "I've redeemed you from Egyptian bondage," He meant, number one, "I've set you free." Redeemed. Then also there's the word agorezo, which means I bought you. I didn't just set you free, but you became my possession. And another word, ex agorezo, means that you will never be for sale again. I have bought you, taken you out of the marketplace of sin, I've set you free, and you belong to me forever. That's what it means to be redeemed. When somebody gets saved, it is true then that they're set free from the old life. They become God's possession. You'll never be for sale again. Once you belong to God, you're never going to belong to the world again. You're eternally secure. You're brought out and you belong to the Lord forever. You are redeemed. It's like the man that met the little boy one day, and the little boy had some birds in a cage. And the man said, "Son, what are you going to do with those little birds?" He said, "Well, I'm going to take them home and feed them to my cat." And the man didn't want him to do that. He said, "No, let me buy them from you." And the boy said, "You don't want to buy these birds. These are just sparrows. These are common birds." The man said, "Oh, I do. I want to buy them from you." So he paid him a dear price for them. And what did the man do but say, "Son, just open the cage door and let them go." And the boy was mystified. What had the man done? He had redeemed them. He had bought them. And since they belonged to him, he had the right to set them free. And the man said they flew through the air singing, "Redeemed." God said, "Don't you ever forget the day when I redeemed you. You were a slave in Egypt, but I set you free. And I brought you to the promised land, and I became your redeemer. And you became my eternal possession. Remember the day." Two things that will happen if we remember the day. Number one, it will increase our gratitude. We should always be remembering the blessings of the Lord, especially the greatest blessing, the day when He saved us. Loving gratitude, that's the motive for everything you do in the Christian life. You know why a lot of people have a hard time living the Christian life? Because they are missing the motive of it, the power behind it. You don't do what you do as a Christian for recognition. You don't do what you do as a Christian for money or applause. You do what you do as a Christian because you love the Lord. Because of the fact He saved you and you love Him and you're thankful to Him. That's the only proper compelling motive in the Christian life. Loving gratitude for what the Lord's done. And if we will often go back in our minds and remember the day, then it will cause us to be more thankful. It will cause us to have a stronger motive for what we do. Praise is very absent in many Christians' lives. Sadly, even though The Lord's blessed us. And if the Lord never did another thing for us, He's already done enough in saving us and giving us eternal life that we should never cease to praise Him. And it is the great antidote to depression is just praise the Lord. Just start counting your blessings. Just start naming them. And it will surprise you. As the song says, it will surprise you what the Lord's done. So, we should be thankful. We should be praising the Lord. But, sadly, we do often forget. We really do. There's a verse about that. I want to turn and read it. You can turn if you wish. 2 Peter 1 talks about the possibility of forgetting. Just forgetting. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 9. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1, 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So then you can forget. You can forget. And we're just that depraved that we do forget. I remember years ago, this fellow came to me one time. He said, I know a very needy family. This was, 20-some years ago, maybe 30. He said, would you help me get some things together for Christmas? He said, I want to take them some things for Christmas. I said, sure. So we got a bunch of things together. And there was, I remember a granny, and I remember a couple of sons. I remember in particular one boy about 8 years old. And you know, we went, we gave nice Christmas gifts, and they were thankful and it was wonderful. But I guess what shocked me was that though I still remember to this day, and if I saw that boy, I would say hello and call his name and remember, but you know what? He forgot it. I saw him many times after that, never acknowledged in any way that he even knew us, or not one bit of gratitude. And it just, every time I see him, it just reminds me of how quick we are to forget. How quick we are. In fact, a lot of Christians would have to say, I don't remember the last time that I said, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. We forget. And that's why the Bible is always telling us to praise the Lord. Hundreds of times, especially in the book of Psalms, it says to praise the Lord. You know what we do? We forget what we should remember. And then we remember what we should forget. How could you forget? On the one hand, how could you forget? When Jesus turned your knife today, how could you forget? But we do. We do. Some people find it helpful in remembering to observe their spiritual birthdays. That's a good practice. If you can remember the day, there wouldn't be nothing wrong with that. It'd be far better to observe your spiritual birthday than your first birthday, apart from the second one. It'd been better not to have the first one. So, I always do. August 26, 1973, is the day I got saved. And coming up next week, I will observe it again for the 33rd time, because it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It's the day I got saved. I've never regretted it. I don't remember a single thing that happened that year besides that, but I remember that. And anything that can help us remember the day, we should do it. We should do it. Isaiah 51, the Lord said, remember where I found you. Remember, the Lord said, the pit that I dug you from. And then the psalmist David said the same thing. He said, the Lord brought me out of a horrible pit, he said. He said, I didn't reach up. God reached down and brought me up out of the muck, out of the horrible pit, set my feet on a rock, established my goings, put a song in my mouth, praise unto God. That's what we need to remember, what the Lord's done for us. We can't, none of us, glory or boast this morning in what we've done. But we can glory and boast in what the Lord's done. And that's what we should do. Rejoice in the Lord, not rejoice in our circumstances. If we only rejoice in our circumstances, that's going to cut our rejoicing way down. But if we can just rejoice in the Lord and glory in what He's done, then it'll be unceasing. It'll be constant. Remember, the disciples came back. Luke 10, Jesus sent them out to cast out devils, heal the sick, and so forth. And they came back, the 70 did. They were rejoicing. This was great. Jesus said, wait a minute. Don't you rejoice in what you're doing. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Luke 10, verse 20. Don't get puffed up because of your accomplishments, Jesus said. Remember, that's nothing compared to what I've done for you. We must remember that. Because that doesn't happen automatically. We have to work at that. And always give God the glory. And take no glory ourselves. Verse 1, I won't reread these verses, but the Lord's telling them to observe the Passover. The ordinance instituted so they would remember that night. Every single year they had a Passover just to remember what had happened that night when the death angel passed over them. The Lord said, when I see the blood on the doorpost, I'll pass over you. And that was the purpose. And the Lord gave them many feasts and so forth so that they could remember. Object lessons for that very purpose, to remember. Well, a second reason, I just want to give you two reasons, but the second reason why they should remember day not only is that it would increase their gratitude, but also it would increase their sense of obligation. It would remind them who they belong to. It would remind them of their sense of debtorship. You know, a Christian is not someone who feels that he can do anything or go or just... A Christian should realize he's underneath the authority of Christ. He should feel like, I'm not my own. I belong to the Lord. And whatever He wants me to do, I should do it with my utmost, the full measure of my allegiance and my loyalty. If we will remember the day when God saved us, then not only will we be more thankful, but I think we'll be more consecrated as well. It's a simple but profound truth. We are not our own. I like the story of the fellow on the train. These fellows said to him, you want to play some poker? He said, I can't. I don't have any hands. And they said, oh, we're sorry. Well, it wasn't much later that the man was reaching for a book. And of course he had hands. And they said to him later, but you told us you didn't have any hands. He said, I don't. He said, these are not my hands. He said, I'm saved. These are the Lord's hands. He said, I'm not going to trespass and use the Lord's property to gamble and play poker and things like that. These are not my hands. That's the way we should live. These are not my feet. These are not my hands. They belong to the Lord. And it'd just be trespassing to use them in the wrong way. We should remember that. We're not our own. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It costs Jesus His blood. And we should live like a redeemed and a purchased people. We should sense a great obligation to the Lord. Just like anybody that's invested in our lives has the right to expect a result, an outcome, a dividend. I feel a great obligation, for example, to my mom and dad. Because for 25 years, they invested in me. They loved me, prayed for me, instructed me, and prepared me for this ungodly world. It would be wrong for me to turn my back on that and forget all that and act like I didn't owe them anything. And in a much greater sense, God has invested in you. God has invested Heaven's treasure, His only begotten Son in you. I mean, we should realize God has made an investment in us. And He deserves, not just demands, but deserves a return, a dividend from us. Remember the day, and it will remind you who you belong to. It will remind you that God has a right to expect from us love, affection, devotion, faithfulness. Just like any parent has that right to expect from their child. What would you say to a child that was ungrateful, disobedient, though the mom and dad provided everything the child needed and gave the child encouragement and example, you say, that ungrateful little child, what is the matter with them? Well, I wonder how God feels towards some of His children who are always rewarding Him with disobedience, unbelief. God deserves better than that. God deserves our lives, our hearts. So, when you get saved then, it makes you want to do right. It's not that you have to keep your salvation. It's just there's only one kind of salvation. When I got saved, nobody had to tell me that I should live the Christian life. I knew that, and I'm still learning, and we're all learning, and God's working on us. But there's something wrong with these people that say they get saved, and there's absolutely no desire whatsoever to read the Bible, no desire whatsoever to live right, and they're just right back out there where they were before. What happened? Maybe they can't remember the day. Maybe there never was a day. Well, we need to remember. It'll make you want to honor the Lord and please Him. Jesus Christ does have a claim upon our lives, and He did save us for a purpose. A purpose. To be a light, to be a testimony, to be a blessing. It's your choice. I say in closing then this morning, remember the day. It'll help you. It'll help you to start every morning saying, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? Lord, I owe so much to You. Lord, where would I be without You, Lord? I'd be in hell. That's where I'd be. Or on my way. And Lord, if You never do nothing else for me, for all that You have done, I thank You and I'll serve You. You gave me my first breath, Lord, and I'll give You my last. It'll inspire us to go on. If you look at people, you'll be discouraged. If you look at circumstances, you'll be discouraged. If you look at the Lord, you'll be encouraged constantly. Everybody's familiar with the phrase, remember the Alamo. A lot of people don't know the story behind that, but the Alamo was a defeat. It was not a victory. It was an absolute defeat. The Mexicans defeated the Texans there. But it was the bravery of the men who went down in defeat that inspired those other men fighting for independence. So that when they fought the next battle, their battle cry was, remember the Alamo. Remember the bravery of those men who died at the Alamo. And they were thus inspired and won the next battle and won independence for the state of Texas. It was a defeat, but it was a brave defeat. And as Christians, you know what inspires us to go on? Not to remember a defeat, as they remembered a defeat, but to remember a victory. Remember the cross, where Jesus Christ suffered for your sins. He didn't have to do that. He was under no legal obligation. He would still be God if we all went to hell. But remember His victory over sin and the devil and the grave. And that inspires us to go on. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says, remember the day, all the days of thy life. Keep it devoutly in sacred memory and never forget it. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. He became a minister. He lived to be in his 90s. When he was a very old man, John Newton said, I have forgotten many things, but he said, I remember two things. He said, I remember I was a great sinner. And he said, I remember Jesus is a great Savior. That's two things worth remembering. I was a great sinner. Jesus is a great Savior. Did you know only Christians have a day? There's no other religion in the world where the adherents say there was a day when I got saved. Only Christianity has that. Only Christians have a day. Only Christians have a resurrected Lord. Only Christians have a book that tells the future. Remember the day. Did you know 100 trillion years from this morning when we are in heaven, you're still going to remember the day? Throughout the ceaseless, never-ending ages of eternity, we're going to remember everything the Lord's ever done for us. It will be the theme of heaven, the worthiness of Jesus Christ. And for all those who reject Christ, unfortunately, they too will remember the day when they rejected the gospel. And their memory will haunt them, and it will be replayed to them over and over again. The fact they could have got saved, and they didn't. So every person is either going to remember the day they got saved, or remember the day that they didn't. It's our choice. It's your choice. Choose wisely. Let's pray together, please. Thank you very much. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the Bible. Lord, you know our frail nature. Lord, we do want to be more thankful. We do want to have a greater sense, Lord, of obligation to you. Lord, we want to be obedient and faithful to you and not grieve your heart. Lord, I just pray you'll help us. You know what we stand in need of. Save sinners, bless your churches, and thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. Girls, you come. I knew a man who was invited to get up and give his testimony. He was very old and his son was with him. And the man was so old that his mind was going a bit. And he said, I remember as a boy in Alabama, I went to a revival meeting. He said, I heard the gospel. I went forward and they got saved. And then he went on and he couldn't remember what happened next. And he would go back and forth in time when he was in his 50s and his 20s and go back and tell how he got saved again. And just finally got to where his son came up to him and apologized to the crowd and said, folks, I'm sorry, you know, Dad's not so well. He said, Dad is not really sure where he is this morning. He said, but you noticed he knows where he's been. The day may come when you may not know where you are. But I don't think the day will come when you won't know where you've been. I've forgotten many things. I really have. I don't know that I'll ever forget when I got saved. And I don't want to forget. I don't want to get over it. I thank God for all He's done for you. And the best is yet to come. Let's turn to 246, please. We'll close by singing Redeemed, Redeemed, 246. Amen. Stand with me, please, for the first and the last stanzas of 246.